Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
My name is Lisa Walden. Today I am interviewing my mother, Joanne Lee Piper Walden. We are at the Mid-Continent Public Library, Midwest Genealogy Center in Independence, Missouri. And today is March 14th, 2014. We're going to start today with family heritage stories. Who was your father first?
My father's name was Howard Foss Piper.
Okay, and who were his parents? Who were your grandparents?
His parents?
Yeah. Mark Howard Piper and Nellie Mae Foss. Yeah. There you go. I know it's a nervous kind of situation we're in. Tell me some stories about your grandparents.
My Grandpa Mark and Nellie?
Yes.
Well, Grandma Nellie died when I was 8 years old and with phlebitis. And I remember in those days, they didn't take the body to the funeral home. They had it in Grandma and Grandpa's dining room. They lived in a rather good-sized house, and the dining room had a bay window. And I remember that's where the casket was, which kind of, I don't know.
Did it scare you?
Bothered. No, it didn't scare me. I'd just never seen anything like that before, and I was only 8. But the only thing I remember from that situation was that I can remember Grandpa bending over and kissing Grandma on her forehead.
Do you remember any stories of him? Your interactions with him? With Grandpa Piper?
Grandpa and, you know, my dad and all of their siblings grew up on a farm. And Grandpa always had a horse. And I remember when I was probably 5 or 6 years old, somewhere along in there, he took me out to a barn where this was when he was living in Flint, so that he boarded a horse there so he could go horseback riding when he wanted to. And the horse's name was Spider, and he put me up on Spider. And I didn't know it at the time that I couldn't handle height. I was just terrified. I felt like I was on top of the Empire State Building. And I didn't want the horse to move or anything. So that was a very memorable event. And then when Grandpa would be they had a real estate office. Grandpa went from farming to developing a real estate office in Flint when General Motors came into town and Flint started growing by leaps and bounds. And every once in a while, if he had to go out into the country or to check on somebody's property, or I don't know what he was doing out in the country, but he would come by the house, my house, and pick me up just to take me for a ride. And we'd be singing together, Barney Google with the googly eyes. That was, I guess, Grandpa's favorite song. So we sang Barney Google. And then he told me later, he said, He said, Joanne, as we were driving along and all of a sudden we were out of the city and you could see it was just farmland, I would say, oh, Grandpa, we're out in the country. And he'd say, why, what's wrong with that? Well, there's no place to buy an ice cream cone. So, you know, he thought that was interesting. It is kind of a cute story. But he would take me with him, you know, just to have companionship. And
he was known as the family patriarch, the Piper family patriarch. And he told me one time about having dinners once a week.
Yes, there was a cafeteria in downtown Flint. It was a two-story building, and it was grocery stores or something on the main floor. But then we went up to the second floor where there was a cafeteria. And every Monday, the Piper family would get together at this huge round table that this restaurant had. And I guess they all liked it because of the fact that everyone could pick out their own food because it was cafeteria style. You ran your tray around the, you know, where the food was. And that was nice. That was something everybody looked forward to. It was just arranged. I can't tell you how many years we did that.
Did he do it? Was that the practice after Nellie died?
After your
grandmother died?
Oh, yes. Because, you know, like I said, she died when I was only 8, but
how old were you when that stopped, when the Monday night dinners stopped?
Oh, I have no idea.
Were you married or were you still a kid?
You know, I can't remember if I was married or not.
How else did he hold the family together?
Well,
a church.
Yes. We all went to Court Street Methodist Church.
When you say we all, who is we
well,
all?
Well, you know, Uncle Bud and Aunt Louise and Aunt Ruth and Uncle Prince and my mama and daddy. Of course, my daddy died when I was 14. So, and he was 42 and mother was 42 when she was widowed. They both graduated together from Flint Central High School.
So did they all attend the same church just because of Grandpa Piper? I mean, tell me about the pew. Didn't you have the same pew and there's a Piper place?
Yes, it sort of became a joke, you know, that Grandpa had his name on the... He didn't really, but they always sat in the front row, the front pew, in the balcony. And so Grandpa and Grandma and whoever, I don't know, sat there. And then Mother and Daddy and I were in the pew behind them. And I guess they liked being able to look down at the choir and see. I don't know why they chose that. I have no idea. But it was for many years.
But all of the family would sit together, or just...
Well, no, Bud and Louise would be in a different area, but... I had something right on my mind when you asked me that question.
It's okay, it'll come back. How did he take care... I mean, so far... I know that he had two sons. Oh, you remembered?
Yeah, no, okay. I remember. I would, because I was so little, and I had not that much interest in what was being said in a sermon, Court Street Methodist Church had beautiful stained glass windows, and I would sit by my mother and daddy and draw a picture of Jesus holding the lamb that was across the church, across the width of the church. And every Sunday I'd be trying to draw that and do a better job. And there was a picture just as nice behind me, but that wouldn't have worked out to try to draw it. But I love drawing, and hopefully got better as time went by. But I enjoyed, I was just a good little girl, sat there and drawing.
Of Mark and Nellie's four children, two of them died. One of your father was one, and their son Jim was one, both dying 30s and 40s. How did Grandpa take care of your mother and Dorothy?
Well, my mother, Grandpa and Uncle Bud invested in land contracts. Don't ask me what a land contract is, but she would get income from those land contracts, and that's how she was able to stay home and take care of me from 14 on. And Aunt Dorothy.
They also paid her bills, right?
Oh, yeah. Mother and I are a lot alike. We don't do paperwork very well, meaning taking care of bills and trying to keep everything straight. And so the taxes and things like that that Mother didn't understand, Grandpa and my dad and Uncle Bud, well, no, my dad wouldn't have been living, took care of those things for her, as well as investing. And then Aunt Dorothy was more scholarly, very, very much into being in college. And so Grandpa moved Aunt Dorothy and her three boys, Harry, Bill, and Jim, moved them down to Ann Arbor, where the University of Michigan is. And also somehow got a maid to live with them. He found a house for them to live in Ann Arbor, so Aunt Dorothy could get her education as, I think, a psychologist. And I don't know if that was for 4 years or what, but it seemed like a long time. And one time when when we went down to visit them, Bill and I were just playing around. We decided to go up to the second floor of the house where the bedrooms were, and there was a landing. There was one flight up and then a landing and then some more steps. And we were standing on this landing and looking up at the ceiling, and the ceiling was really cracked. I mean, just real, just cracked a lot. And we were just standing there looking at it when all of a sudden the ceiling fell down on us.
The power of observation.
And we often, we'll bring that up when we're together and say, wasn't that weird, that we'd be just looking at it and then it'd fall on us? So, but it was so very nice that Grandpa had the money. He sold his farm in Flint when General Motors came in, and that's how he made his money, by parceling it off into lots. And there's a Foss Avenue Baptist Church named after the family. There's a Lareda Street in that same area, farmland.
Named after his mother.
And I think there's even there's some more, a couple more houses and streets that were named after his children.
How about if I take you down the avenue of your Aunt Ruth, your dad's sister? How would you describe Aunt Ruth Piper Seiler?
She was a good-natured lady. Yeah, she enjoyed family. And she had kind of a sad life too, in some ways, because after she and Uncle Prince got married, he had to go to war, and World War II. Yeah. And he fought in the Battle of Normandy, which was a really big battle. And he got shot. And he was shot in the neck. And the bullet went in just below his ear and came out the other side and never hit a vital organ.
How did that affect Aunt Ruth?
Well, first of all, the only effect that it gave Uncle Prince was that he couldn't raise his right arm above his shoulder. But that's no big deal. You know, that's as far as he could get it up. But didn't hit his spine, his brain, or anything vital. But that bullet went straight through his neck. So that was his experience, you know. And
so how did that affect Aunt Ruth?
Well, she was home taking care of baby John. And Bill and I often babysat for her when she wanted to go out, and we'd take care of the baby.
Which you told me earlier that she babysat for you, right?
Yes, when I was little. I have some snapshots that my mother took of Aunt Ruth. Just with me outside by a tree somewhere. Yeah, she watched over me if mother was had an appointment or whatever. And of course, every week mother got her hair done. And usually I was left at her mother's house, Caroline Mahan.
How about if we go to your mother's side of the family? Talking about Grandma Mahan, who was Caroline Crosby Mahan. What do you remember of her?
Well, Grandma's husband, who died before I was born, worked in a gas station, which was owned it. It was Mobil Gas. Maybe not when I was little, I don't know. But he worked in a gas station, and when he died, her son, Claire, took over the gas station. And my Uncle Claire had one short leg that he had to have an iron thing attached to the bottom of that one shoe so that he could, and it was probably 10 or 12 inches high. His one leg was very dwarfed, I guess I should say. But Uncle Claire ran the station from then on until the day he died. And Grandma took in laundry from, you know, friends and I don't know who all. And any time I went over there every week when Mother was getting her hair done and Grandma would take care of me, she was always doing laundry and then ironing. She had an old wringer washer down in the basement, and then she'd have her ironing board up on the main floor, and all these shirts and men's shirts and I don't know, just all kinds of laundry hanging around in her dining room until the people came to pick them up. And that's how she made some money. And at mealtime, when she would have, there was a window in her kitchen that looked out over the gas station. And after she got a meal for Uncle Claire, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I mean, it was many steps up to where the house was, and he'd come up and eat, and she would sit looking out that window and checking, and every time a car came in, she'd tell him. But that way he could just eat and relax and not worry about if a car was there or not. So Grandma always sat at the table, or a, I don't know, something, so she could see out the window.
Sounds like they really worked together to survive.
They did. They did. And
do you remember anything either one of them did for fun?
Yeah, Uncle Claire liked going fishing, and once in a while he would, in Michigan we have a certain time of the year when a smelt run, they're like overgrown minnows, mm-hmm. or something, I don't know, I wouldn't eat one. I mean, because when you eat smelt, you eat the bones and everything. So, but they liked to go smelt fishing. And he'd go with his two brothers, with Ralph and Clark, and they'd have maybe a weekend together. When, I don't know how often. And when he'd close the station on Sunday afternoon or something like that, he would come out to the lake when we were living there, Lake Fenton.
So he only had a half a day off a week?
I think so.
No. Do you remember your grandmother ever doing anything for fun?
Oh,
no. Crafting or...
No. She just... And I just... All I remember is my mother wasn't feeling well. And so she had my daddy take the laundry that we had at our house over to Grandma to have her wash it and take care of it. And that was when Uncle Claire found Grandma dead in bed. She had died in her sleep.
When your family's laundry was there?
Well, yeah, my dad had taken it over the day before. And it just happened that night.
Wow.
That night, she died. And, of course, that just put a real guilt trip on my mom. Mm. You know, I don't know what was wrong with my mother. Nobody ever said, you know. I just remember she was in bed for a while. A few days, I don't know, a week. I don't know what it was. And so that had to have been hard for Mother to take, you know.
And hard for Uncle Claire, it sounds like.
Well, yeah, but I mean, yes. Uncle Claire's comment was, Mother never woke up. So he was the one that found her.
Yeah.
Because they were the only two that lived in that house at the time.
Do you have any memories of...
I think Grandma was 60. Either Grandma Mahan was 60 or Grandma Piper was 60 when they died. And the other was 62. I mean, one was 62 and one was 50, and I don't remember which was which now.
It's interesting that both of your grandfathers... died young.
Not my grandfather.
Oops, I'm sorry. Your grandfather and your father died young.
Yes.
You didn't know your mother's father. And then your father's mother died young, relatively young. But what do you remember of your mother's brothers and sister? Uncle Ralph. How would you describe Uncle Ralph?
Oh, he was a fun guy. And when he was living in Flint, before he moved up further north in Michigan, he'd always tease me. We'd be sitting on Grandma's Davenport, and he would, all of a sudden, he'd reach behind my ear, you know, and pull out a quarter. I could never figure out where that quarter came from. He did that a lot. He was, you know, that was.
Did you ever check out your ear yourself?
Oh, probably.
See if there was a little bank?
Yeah, probably. So, yeah, he was, and he was the only brother. There was Claire and Clark and Ralph. And to my knowledge, Uncle Clark and Aunt Grace never went to church. And, of course, Uncle Claire couldn't because of having to work. I don't know if he would have gone anyway or not. Who knows? But Uncle Ralph and his wife, Aunt Jane, always were involved in church.
What do you remember of your Uncle Clark and Aunt Grace?
He served in the war, too, in Bombay and Calcutta, India. And he was a MP, military police. And he was never wounded or anything, but I know how he complained about one time he was late. He had gone on leave for the weekend or something like that, got that permission. But when it was time to get back to the camp, there was some cows in the road, and he couldn't pass the cows. That was a crime in India. The cows had priority, and he had to walk behind the cows or ride the jeep or whatever he was. And he was late getting back to camp because of that rule in India that they're sacred and you don't go past them. So I heard that story.
Yeah. Let's switch over to my father, your husband, Dick Walden, his family. Your relationship with his side of the family was with his aunts and uncles who were there raising him when he was a child. What do you remember of those aunts and uncles and the gatherings that they had?
Well, Dick's aunt and uncle moved to Flint.
Which one are you referring to?
Helen Clifford and...
Oh, so, you're thinking of his mother's sister. Okay.
His mother's sister, uh-huh. Yes.
Helen Brackenberry Clifford.
Helen Brackenberry, that's right. They ended up working in the same ladies... It was a department store, but it was mostly I think at the time, all women's apparel. And so that's how they met. My mother, Leona Mahan Piper, and Helen Clifford. They became really close friends. And then Aileen, who was another sister to Helen, was working there too. And I would hear the story from my mother that she could always remember when Aileen came into the store one day and was just, because she was a bubbly person, real bubbly, and just all excited because she was going to have a baby.
And this baby was going to be who?
And this baby ended up being my husband, Dick Walden. And so when the doctor was drunk and left Aileen in labor for 70 hours. And she should have had a C-section. But she didn't. I mean, maybe they didn't do it in those days. Because I don't know what year he was born.
1927.
And Mother said that she gave him his first bottle of water. When, she must have gone up to the hospital.
This was while Aileen was still alive?
Yes, it was right after he was born. She lived, I think, 2 or 3 days after he was born. But 70 hours of labor caused her heart to be weak. And she passed away. So... Mother was there to give him his first bottle of water, and Mother said he drank the whole thing right down, which ended up being the story of his life. He drank water like
Who took the baby? Who took Dick?
So, yes, Helen and Clifford took the baby, took Dick into their home for 1 year. And then Aline's husband, Walden, came to Flint and got him and took him to Lamoni, Iowa, to let Grandma Walden raise him with his uncles, Jim Walden and Babe, and I don't know who all was there.
So can you tell me about the characteristics of those family gatherings that you and my father had with his aunts and uncles, those reunions?
In later years, when we were married, and the Waldens somehow or other arranged Walden reunions about every other year, somewhere around the United States. I remember one in Bennett Springs, Missouri, and I never have found Bennett Springs on the map. And then...
What did they do, though, at those reunions?
Well, we would travel, you know, like we had to go clear to Reno for one of them. But, no, we just sit around and talk and laugh. And in Reno, I guess we went into the casino a couple of times just for the experience. Bennett Springs, we each had cabins, and one of the uncles was teaching I don't know, Chris, how to fish?
Yeah. Uncle Evan.
My son, Chris.
Uncle Evan took Chris fishing all the time. Well, what comes to mind for me are the recordings you made of all the singing that went on.
Right, I did. I had a tape recorder. Mm-hmm. And I've got some family, because the Walden family couldn't really sing. All of them had good voices. All of them. As opposed to me, the Piper family, nobody was musical at all. Never heard anybody sing or whistle or anything. And so we would have big singing, you know, maybe like towards the end of the day or something, and everybody'd be gathered around in some room. And just, you know, I can't remember what kind of songs, but I don't know if they were hymns. Probably some of them were.
They were the old songs that we, as children of Dick Walden, learned that none of our friends ever knew. Because they were the old songs, but those are the songs we learned. What about the family reunion, the Walden family reunion that was held on Lake Fenton?
Well, that was so neat. And Chris, my son Chris, my second baby, was just a few months old, and I don't know how I handled all the food and everything. Prepared ahead, of course, for all the family. But one night, our cottage on Lake Fenton was just, the front door was only maybe 20 feet down to the beach, and we had a nice front lawn, and the front of the cottage was a really long porch, and the windows on it were hinged at the top, so you had to pull the window out and up and hook it up to the ceiling. And this was the full length of the porch. And we had we had lamps in there, but, I mean, you know, table lamps. But for some reason they weren't on. But there was one ceiling bulb right in the middle of the porch, right where the doors were that went out to the lake. And we had some hymnals. I don't know how we got that. And they gathered around underneath this light bulb and were singing. And Mother and I just sat there and listened and enjoyed it completely. Beautiful singing. And finally it was dark outside. All you could see was the speedboats going by with the lights on them, you know. And finally they decided they were done singing. And so when they stopped singing, and it was pitch black outside, and when they were done singing, all of a sudden we heard just a roar of clapping. And it turned out that the neighbor, because it was a nice night, the windows were all up, and they were all singing, you know. And then I guess the neighbors just came down from both sides of our house. Just, there was a lot of people out there. And they were just sitting on our front lawn listening to the concert. And that was really, we had no idea there was anybody out there because we couldn't see, you know. Yeah, never forget that.
It was, I only remember three things from family reunions, and that was singing, eating, and laughing.
Yeah.
And, you know, they would just change order. Change order. One more story? One more story. And this touches on your childhood, growing up in Flint, Michigan. What happened when you heard about President Roosevelt or some of these significant things, World War II, how did that affect you as a child?
Well, I grew up alone because I have no brothers and sisters. There was only a couple people in the neighborhood, a couple kids that I played with once in a while. But I was outside playing hopscotch, or I just had things that I could do by myself. I was jumping rope or doing the hopscotch thing or ball and jack, you know. But all of a sudden, the man across the street came running out of his house and saying, "President Roosevelt just died. President Roosevelt just died." You know, and that's how I...
How did you respond?
Oh, well, I mean, I was shocked, but I was pretty young. You know, I mean, I was sad that our president died. But as far as, like, crying or anything like that, no.
Or scare you? Did it scare you that a man would run out of the house?
No. But I did go to his home, in President Roosevelt's home in Georgia. I think it was Georgia.
What were your experiences of World War II? Living through World War II, were there any food deprivations? Were there any gas?
The food line. Thank you. I can remember standing in line, and I mean line, long lines, at the grocery store to get bananas. I don't know why bananas were so scarce. To get nylons, they were kind of scarce. That wasn't important to me, but it was to my mother. Butter was not available, and so mother had to buy this clear plastic bag of something white, which all I can think of is it looked like Crisco. I mean, now. I don't know what it was. And it had a little yellow pill inside this bag, and mother had to just like squeeze it to break it open. And then she would knead, everything would still be inside the bag, and she would knead the bag until the whole thing was yellow. And that was supposed to be our butter and I, to this day, have no idea what that white stuff was.
Did you have...
I hope it wasn't Crisco.
Did you have a victory garden, or did you...
Some people did, but we didn't. We didn't have. I'm trying to think besides, besides bananas? Oh, probably meat. Probably mother had to stand in line for meat.
Did you hear anything about what the war was about?
Oh, yeah. Because in the Flint Journal, I mean, I was in grade school. Of course, and I could read a little, you know, but the headlines would be really big headlines saying Hitler. And I don't know what it said about Hitler, but I just remember seeing that name in great big bold letters. And also the word Japs. Mm-hmm. And of course, we don't use that terminology anymore towards the Japanese, but they were always called the Japs. And that was, it was kind of scary in a way, but I didn't know the potential of what was going on particularly, except Uncle Clark was off to war and Uncle Prince was off to war.
So you were affected. Well, this concludes our interview with Joanne Lee Piper Walden, interviewed by her daughter, me, Lisa Joanne Walden. Thank you.